everybody. How's it going? My name's Claire Bartlett, and you're watching and listening to Me and My Racket. And today on the show, we have Wes Sadler. Wes, how you
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me to talk tennis with you today.
doing? Great. Well, thanks for coming on. So, Wes, as we discuss, I want to read a quick bio for our viewers and our listeners. So, everybody, Wes is from Albany, Georgia, and he is a certified financial planner at Sadler Retirement. He's a leader in Albany's growing tennis community, and he played college tennis at Darton College, where his team qualified for the NJCAA championships 2 years in a row. And he's been involved in coaching and teaching ever since. So, Wes, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing today? What's going on in your world?
I'm good. I tell you, I'm enjoying some cooler weather down here in South Georgia. Our summers are so hot and muggy, so it's been a nice reprieve the past couple of weeks having some cooler weather, even though I'm in my office from 8 to 5 every day, and with the time change, I don't have as much daylight in the afternoon, so I definitely enjoy my Saturdays and Sundays with this beautiful weather we've had the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, awesome. Well, and I was reading an article online a little earlier, and in the article you said you like to watch tennis sometimes on your breaks in the office, like it
Oh
helps
yeah.
clear your head.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely hit YouTube up at lunchtime. I usually maybe either bring my lunch or go out and grab some, bring it back to the desk, and I'll watch a YouTube video on some coaching or highlights from some matches going on. So yeah, that's a nice little break during the day for sure.
Yeah, well, fun. Well, hey, talk a little bit about your tennis story, like how you first got involved and your experience like as a player and a coach and where you are now, so.
Sure. Well, I started my athletic career in the second grade playing baseball. So I played baseball with the City League, which was the competitive league from second grade up until seventh grade. And in the seventh grade, growing up, my mom and dad took me to church on Sundays and Wednesday afternoons. Well, the City League started having practices on Wednesday afternoons. And my dad said, "Well, you're not going to be able to practice on Wednesday. So we got to figure out what you need to do." Well, we started looking around at the YMCA had baseball, and they practiced on Tuesdays and Thursdays and had games on Saturdays. Well, I'm left-handed and I love to pitch. So there was this one particular game toward the end of the season in my seventh grade year, and I was pitching and I struck out 14 out of 16 batters. There was one kid hit the ball and it rolled all the way to the fence. And that ball got thrown all around the ball field, and he scored an in the park, inside the park home run, and we lost the game 1-0. And I was so discouraged from that because I feel like I could have ran out and grabbed the ball and brought it back in and got him out before he went around the bases. But just after that, my best friend played tennis and he had taken lessons up in Macon and just a really competitive player playing tournaments. So I went out with him one day. And I just fell in love with it being an individual sport. I was in control. I mean, he just blew me off the court, but I was like, man, that's okay. I mean, I know he's a lot better than me, but I see what the potential is. So that's how I got into tennis. And ever since, so that was 12 years old. I just turned 49 this summer. So 37 years, tennis has been a part of my life. And so, but that's my tennis story there.
Well, cool. Well, and so now, as you mentioned, you're planning on coaching at SCA. So for those of you who don't know, it's Sherwood Christian Academy, until your son's older and graduated. So I was just wondering, what's your coaching philosophy and how, like, what do you try to instill in the players that you're coaching?
Sure. Well, this will be my first season coming up. We're actually hosting a tennis call out or an interest day to see which students would like to play tennis. I mean, they have a pretty good foundation. Probably their top two or three spots on the boys and girls have some experienced players. And then we got to fill in the other ones possibly with some beginners. But I'm excited about it. And so this will be my first season with this program. I look back over my tennis career. I played in high school 4 years. I played 2 years of college tennis. Still to this day, I have three buddies from my college team, and we text each other almost on a daily basis. We had a blast a few weeks ago during the World Series when the Braves were fighting it out and ended up pulling out the World Series. So those friendships that I cultivated back when I was like 18, 19, 20 are still a part of my life. So as far as my coaching philosophy, I have three, I guess, objectives anytime we're out there on the court, especially at practice, that we're going to have fun. It's a game. And, you know, there's been times in my life when I wasn't having fun with tennis because I was taking it too seriously and so worried about my results, about whether I was going to win or not, that I wasn't having fun with the process in the game. So having fun, getting exercise, these kids, I mean, I know at Sherwood, they do PE one semester and then they have like theater arts the next semester. So they're not doing PE, and a lot of school systems don't offer PE every semester. So they're sitting in those desk all day long, kind of like I do at the office, and that's just not good for us, you know? So I want them to get out and get some exercise and hopefully fall in love with the game so they can enjoy it for the rest of their lives. And then I would say the final thing is to learn something new. I consider myself a student of the game. Even after 37 years, I'm still learning things about the game, and it's developed and evolved over the years. And so I enjoy that process, just like we talked about watching the YouTube videos. That's so much fun to me, watching different coaches and their little 1 minute clinics or things that are available. And so I just enjoy that part of it. So I'm hopefully going to share my enthusiasm and excitement for the game, that they're going to cultivate some lifelong friendships and develop a love for the game that they can enjoy for the rest of their lives and hopefully pass on to their children one day.
Right. Yeah. Great. Well, and changing subjects a little bit. So you and your wife, Izzy, you're on a mixed doubles team that won the Georgia State Championship. And I was just wondering, you know, it's a contentious subject because some people love playing with their spouse and other people like no. And I didn't know if y'all had any advice, you know, for people that are playing together or maybe want to play together and how to navigate that.
Sure. I hate to admit it, but there were a couple of nights I had to sleep on the couch after some of our tennis matches because we maybe lost and weren't communicating all that effectively. And unfortunately, we took that home, but we grew from that. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it's, I think with your spouse, sometimes it's easy to say those things that you should probably keep to yourself compared to me playing with somebody else's spouse. And unfortunately, that's a matter of respect. So it's about learning how to respect each other on the court. And, you know, oftentimes it can be so challenging to find couples that are on the same skill level where you're both 4-0 or 4-5. So what I've seen with married couples, fortunately, my wife and I are pretty even on our skill level. So it's hard for another team to just pick on one of us. So, but when I do see couples that one may have more experience than the other, there's this level of expectation or frustration that can creep in. And that can happen with any doubles partners, you know? So, but I think it's a matter of respect and, just having fun with it. And the older I get, the less, I'm still very competitive. My wife's very competitive, but the winning or the losing isn't as important as us having recreational companionship and getting out and doing stuff. And we love to travel down to Topsail in Miramar Beach and Rosemary Beach, and we play tournaments, not quite as many since my son's in grade school now, but we got married in 2008, and between there and about 2013, we were probably playing 6 to 8 tournaments a year together, you know, traveling around. So, but I would say it's about being respectful and focusing on what's important. And it's the having fun and just enjoying each point. And, but I've had a lot of couples say, man, I don't know how y'all do it. How do you play with your spouse? I tried it and I just couldn't do it. And that's okay too. If you know that, if it's going to cause a barrier or some kind of tension in the relationships, by all means, don't do it if you're not having fun with it.
Yeah. Find something that's fun for both of you.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Well, and so you are both currently serving in the Albany Tennis and Pickleball Association on the board there. So can you talk a little bit about that and the goals and the relationship between tennis and pickleball? Because it's funny, I don't know if you see, I don't often see tennis and pickleball in the same like association or the board. So I'm really interested to hear like how that goes on. So.
We actually just got that name change modification with the Secretary of State because a lot of our tennis community is playing pickleball now, and our tennis board, you know, we have probably 12 people on our board, but most of us work full time, so we don't have a lot of time to volunteer for clinics and things like that to offer free tennis development in the community. We are a relatively small tennis community. We have two country clubs, and that's pretty much where the tennis is housed at and the opportunities to take lessons. We will talk a little bit more about what our Daugherty County and their plans for a tennis center. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but we decided to expand and include pickleball. I know it's tennis, and I've my wife and I have attended the Georgia CTDW, the Community Tennis Development Workshop, the past couple of years, and I know they've had concerns about pickleball taking over tennis courts, which I'm concerned about that too, because I don't want to see tennis dwindle just because pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the country right now. You know, pickleball, I've found that it's easy for people to learn. You basically have one grip, like a continental grip, and you use that on your underhand serve and your ground strokes and your volleys. So there are a lot of similarities with it, but it's different strategy. But I've found from playing pickleball, my hands and my quickness and volleys up at the net are so much better. And it's like I have a lot more time, because when you get up at the net at pickleball, you got about 14 feet between you and your opponents.
Right.
That ball's coming in hot. So you got to be ready and putting that, and you don't have a lot of time to make a big swing, which is really where people tend to mess up at the net, over swinging on their volleys instead of making good contact out in front and kind of holding that finish. So I think they kind of complement one another, but I see where pickleball could be a way to get people into a court sport like that, and then let them graduate into tennis. Because I tell you, after playing pickleball and hitting that hard wiffle ball where you got to really swing to get any pace on the ball, when I get out and hit a tennis ball, it feels so good to feel that ball hit the tennis strings and just see that power and the pace that comes off of it. So I've actually enjoyed playing tennis after kind of taking a break last year with COVID. I played a lot more pickleball for some reason. I guess it was just growing at our club. But now I'm getting back into tennis with coaching my son's team. And I'm actually looking to start. I'd like to personally start playing more singles tournaments. I started playing singles, and see if I could maybe work on my Georgia state ranking in singles as I move into the 50s category.
Well, cool. Well, and so you mentioned the you know, the community center and the plans. So how's all that going? Like, how did that idea come up, and then what's the status on everything?
You know, I've been a part of the Daugherty County Recreation Committee for about, man, it's pushing 10 years now. And about 20 years ago, there was a couple of Daugherty County residents, and I'm not even sure who they were. I wasn't involved with it back then, but they approached the county about putting a vote for the SPLOST funds, a SPLOST vote for Daugherty County to allocate up to like $3 million for a tennis center. And the county agreed to put it on the ballot. It was approved, but the county doesn't really provide recreational services. They have a few things they do, but they really wanted to acquire the funds through the SPLOST funds and then allocate it and have it built and let somebody else manage it. Well, apparently the individual that spearheaded that program, he passed away shortly after that vote was approved, and it kind of, they dropped the ball as far as the local residents and their involvement with the tennis program. So it kind of sat dormant for a while until a new county administrator came in and picked up the project and put together a committee that I'm now on. And we're working with the city, which the city of Albany provides most of the recreational services in our community. So we're trying to solidify a partnership with the city where the county can provide the capital to build the tennis center, and then the city may provide a community tennis director that can provide programming. So we really don't want to just build these courts that are sitting out there with no programming. So that's kind of been the concern and been the holdup over the years, is that the county didn't want to provide ongoing programming and upkeep and maintenance on the court. So But we're getting very close. We're actually working with some engineers now, have a location. They're putting together the design plan. I've worked with the USTA National. They've been very helpful with the concept plan and also resources for getting the project started. So we're excited about it. And I'm hoping, you know, the way right now where we're at November, it could be next fall or probably maybe spring of 2023 when we actually see that project completed. But I feel like we have three area public high schools, and they have actually been using some of the courts at the Sherwood Christian Academy, which is a private school that I'm going to be coaching at. So there is a need for some public courts. The high school courts have not been maintained, and you know, so it would be great to have some community courts that are, you know, free and accessible to people that want to get out and just play around with it and eventually hopefully take some lessons and develop as players. So absolutely.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, and you know, we've been over your tennis journey, and I was just interested, you know, who has been like some of your mentors or people you've looked up to throughout your life, your career?
Yeah. Well, my high school coach, his name is Tinsley Dozier, and he, you know, he's been a big influence on my tennis career. He and I and my wife actually have played a lot of tournaments together. Even like I mentioned before, my son started grade school there between 08 and 2013. We would travel with him and get us a condo down at the beach and play at Topsail at the Helen Drake tournament in April every year. And he still travels. He plays tournaments all over the state and southern tournaments. And he's also a pickleball enthusiast, but he still plays tennis. Now, he's retired now from the Daugherty County School System, and he's enjoying his retirement, but I've always looked up to him and admired him as a tennis player and coach and just a friend. And then Randy Jobson was my college coach, and he's actually still the tennis director at Stonebridge Country Club here in Albany. So he had a big influence and really helped develop my technical skills and my I guess strategy as a tennis player my first 2 years in college. So I would say those two on a personal level. On looking at, you know, watching tennis players like Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras and Roger Federer, I always gravitated to the players with one-handed backhands because I have a one-handed backhand, even though Pete Sampras's backhand always made me cringe when he'd hit it. But fortunately, he could run around it and just crush his forehand, and he really didn't have to hit a lot of ground strokes because of his chip and charge and his serve and volley. But I love watching Pete play. I mean, even whenever he was sick or not feeling well, he just kept going up there and just was so consistent. And Roger Federer, you know, his demeanor and temperament, you know, I know when he first started out, he kind of had a little temper, you know, a lot of people don't know that. He had to get some good coaching to see that, hey, you're going to have to dial it back and pace yourself and treat it as a marathon and not get so frustrated, which I kind of have that personality too, where I talk to myself. And man, when you're out there in the heat of the moment, especially you're playing somebody where y'all are kind of on the same level going back and forth, and it seems like it's such a challenge and difficult, it can get frustrating, and those frustrations just seem to create tension in your body where you can't relax and have free flow on your ground stroke. So I really have admired Roger Federer and like I said, Pete Sampras, and just the way they're champions, whether they won or lost, even. And that's the reason they won so many, because they were champions. So getting back to that, the coaching philosophy, I want to build a championship program at Sherwood Christian Academy, but it's not about just winning the region or winning state championships, which would be the results. I want to focus on those day-to-day habits that champions have of showing up and putting forth a good effort, our nutrition, what we're fueling our body with, our conditioning, our strategy, our mindset, those kind of things that we're working on, the process. The more we focus on those things, those results of championships, those just naturally come as a byproduct of those good good habits.
So. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, and they just carry off court, you know, and through the rest of those kids' lives, you know, as I'm sure you know, like that's such a great sport to be involved in to learn all those things. So, So besides tennis and besides your full-time job, I know you're very busy. Do you have any other hobbies or interests?
Well, my wife and I, we bought a house out on the river, Flint River, here about a year ago, and I got a boat, so I like to water ski, wakeboard. We bought some kayaks and stand-up kind of hybrid paddle boards, kayaks, so we like to do that. Just recently bought us a couple of mountain bikes, and there's some pretty nice trails here in Albany. My stepson lives over in Dothan, Alabama, so we go over there, and they have like just miles and miles of really nice trails, so we'll ride with him. And so I would say that now going into the tennis season with my son's team, I'm excited about being a part of his life because he's 12. I know I got about 6.5 years before he graduates and he goes off to college. And I just thought this would be a prime time for me to get to spend some quality time with him and the other SCA students who want to learn the game or continue to grow in their tennis skills. So, but yeah.
Cool. Well, now it's time for our rapid fire questions. So these are going to be quick. But if you could have dinner with 1 to 3 people dead or alive, who would it be?
Well, I guess I'm a believer. So Jesus would be there again. He died, but I believe he rose again. But technically, he did die at one point. Now I think he's alive. But I'd like to have lunch with him or dinner. I mean, that being the Son of God, that's a pretty big deal. So yeah, that would be good. And then, I'm in the investment business. So I think Warren Buffett, I'd love to have dinner with him. He's just got full of great wisdom and insight. He's one of the top investment gurus in the history of investing. And I just admire and respect him and really read a lot of his content, his letters to his annual report to the board of directors and the shareholders. So I would definitely enjoy having dinner with him as well.
And a surprising fact about yourself?
I'm left-handed, and I don't know if you can see that, but my ring finger, the tip of it is cut off. That happened when I was 3 years old, coming in from recess in pre-K, and some kids were in the classroom, and they shut the door right when I was about to come in, and it caught my finger. And my grandmother, my dad's mom, and one of my dad's brothers had the same finger cut off at the same knuckle on the left hand. So that's just something bizarre that I just look at it sometimes like, what in the world? It's funny, and it just keeps me humble. It reminds me that I'm not perfect too. So I'm just kidding.
All right, and then last night's dinner.
I got some Cerchero's to go. Cerchero's, are you familiar with Cerchero's?
I'm not,
It's a Tex-Mex chain. I know there's some down in South Georgia, like Valdosta, I think Moultrie, Waycross, Tifton, Albany. They had one that came in about 2 years ago. So it's kind of like Moe's or Chipotle. And so I got a couple of veggie bowls for my wife. My son got a steak bowl. And so I took those home with some chips. And I shouldn't have done it, but I got a little side of queso and I ate way too many chips. So, but yeah, that was dinner last night.
Okay, cool. And lastly for these, what are you reading, watching, or listening to at the moment?
I tell you what, I'm bad about getting. I got about 4 or 5 books started that I read on. Just depends on what I'm in the mood. In the mornings, I read about 3 or 4 chapters in the Bible. I'm working my way through the Bible over the course of the year, and I have a commentary called the Bible Recap that gives some, just kind of explains what you're reading. The Bible is a pretty complicated book, so unless you really get the context or the history and background of it, sometimes it can be very confusing. So I read the Bible. I read a lot of, I guess, productivity books. Darren Hardy, he's got one called the, Lee, I got it right back here. Yeah, it's called the Entrepreneur Roller Coaster. So it's very helpful being an entrepreneur of the challenges that we encounter and just how to maneuver those and stay afloat and thrive in business. I'm watching a new series on Netflix called The Shrink Next Door with Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd. I think that's how he pronounces his name, but they are hilarious. They're so good together and funny. So I enjoy some good humor and comedy, because sometimes with my business things can get kind of serious, and I like to lighten the load with what I'm watching at home, you know. So listening to, as far as I listen to Darren Daily, it's actually an email I get that's a 5-minute video in the mornings, and he has Darren Daily on demand that I like to listen to. Bands, I love My Morning Jacket. That's like one of my favorite bands, so I listen to them. So I got plenty to listen to and read to in my downtime.
There you go. Yeah. Well, not to put you on the spot, but do you have any investment advice for people, like a one or two liner investment advice?
You know, I focus on working with retirees and people approaching retirement. So their investment objectives are shifting from the accumulation phase, where they've been focused on growth investments, and they're moving into a preservation and distribution phase. Because when you're saving for money or for retirement like we are, you know, that volatility of the stock market can actually be your friend. When the market falls and you just keep putting in that same amount each month, you actually buy more shares when it's lower. So I really don't mind for my own investments when the market falls a little bit, because I'm just buying more of the same companies at a better price. But for my retirement clients, that volatility becomes their enemy, because when the market falls, they have to sell more shares to generate the same monthly income. So it really depends on where somebody's at. If a listener is more in their 20s, 30s, 40s, focusing on growth investments, and whether they want to do it their own and put the research into it to buy individual stocks. I mean, there's a lot of great growth companies out there, like Amazon and you know Facebook, Apple, Alphabet, the parent company of Google. Those are four that, if you look at any growth fund, you're probably going to see those four companies in the top 10 of those funds. I personally like to use mutual funds for my own simple IRA retirement plan I have here at work, because I'm doing this all day long talking to people about their money, and I don't like to micromanage and put a bunch of extra effort into trying to pick individual stocks. So I kind of look at it like, with a mutual fund, it's kind of like getting on a cruise ship, and it's this big boat that can kind of withstand the storms out there. And even though you may not be able to get out there and enjoy the pool, you're pretty safe compared to buying individual stocks. It's kind of like getting in a little sailboat, and you're responsible for navigating the seas. And some people like the excitement of that. I'm not, that's not me. And I guess because I am, you know, I have an accounting degree, and I tend to be a little more conservative by nature, because I'm working with retirees who are, their top concern is they don't want to lose money, and they don't want to have to go back to work because they lost too much money in the market. So I naturally have that conservative focus, but hopefully that kind of shares some insight as far as what direction somebody might want to pursue. So
Well, thanks. Yeah, and I'm sure we can have a whole other podcast on Robinhood and everything. There's so much going on right now in that world, but
there really
we won't
is.
Go there.
That's right.
So lastly, is there anything else you'd want to promote, or any thank yous or shout outs while we're
I'd like to give a shout out to, like, Darren Potke and his team with the USTA Georgia. And I guess are you part of that team?
Or yeah, I work with USTA. Okay. I'm USTA Southern, but I work for North Georgia and Atlanta. So.
Okay, great. Well, I know my wife and I have been cultivated some relationships with Darren and his team, Amanda Boudreau with the USTA, the Net Generation school program. She's come down and hosted some trainings for area high school and middle school coaches to introduce tennis to our students. I went to a CTDW workshop, my first one, about three years ago, and they gave out an award to, can't remember what the title of it was, but Deborah, I think her name was Deborah Caldwell over in Columbus. She's a retired school teacher. And she, back then, Columbus, and this, I can't remember if it was back in the 90s or late 80s, but Columbus had maybe 500 to 1,000 regular tennis participants. And she decided to introduce tennis into the middle school and high school, or maybe even elementary school, to get a racket in these kids' hands. And they're up to like 3,500 regular tennis participants in the Columbus community because of that one, it seems like that one person's vision of getting a racket in kids' hands. So that's something that's, I forgot to mention that with our Albany Tennis and Pickleball Association, that's our goal, is to get a tennis racket in each kid's hand by the time they finish middle school, and hopefully they'll carry it on and just develop some foundational skills that they can enjoy, you know, for the rest of their life, and hopefully get plugged into USTA leagues and tournaments. So I would say a shout out to Darren and his team at USTA Georgia. I'd encourage anybody that'd like to get plugged in and support or grow tennis in their community to find out who the Community Tennis Association is, maybe volunteer as a board member, get plugged in, and even reach out to the USTA Georgia team. And there's tons of resources and grants and just programs that they provide that you can implement. And it's so easy, and they're so helpful to provide the resources. A lot of equipment is included in some of the programs. So I would just like to thank Darren and his team for what they do to promote tennis in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, well, thanks, Wes, and thanks for all you do for tennis. Really, really
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. And thanks so much for coming on and sharing your story and everything today.
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Of course. Well, and thanks to our listeners and viewers for tuning in. If you're on YouTube, you can like and subscribe. And then we're on Facebook and Instagram and anywhere else you find your podcasts. So hope everybody has a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right.